right. Well, first, I want to thank everybody for coming here. This is the last talk on the last day of Build, and we're really impressed that you're joining us, so thank you. First off, I want to introduce myself. I'm Dina Fuller. I'm a Principal Program Manager at Microsoft, and my focus is on building end-user experiences. This April, I am proud to say I've celebrated 20 years at Microsoft, which is a very, 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 very long time. I'm actually, so yeah, thank you very much. It stuns even me. And in that time, I've been just very grateful to work with a bunch of amazing people. I've worked on a range of products from Windows to Office to Bing to Xbox, just to name a few. Right now, I work on the Windows Store. And one of the things about me is I didn't come to Microsoft from a traditional path of computer science. My degree is in aeronautical engineering. And I studied in college doing, you know, computational fluid dynamics, rocket propulsion, stuff like that. But how I came to Microsoft was I programmed all through engineering to do fluid analysis and my computing time and a downturn. One of the projects I worked on lost funding. So I went into computing, and that's how I ended up at Microsoft. And when I was there, I fell in love with the people and decided, even though I had just gotten out of aeronautics, much to my parents' chagrin, I decided to make a change. And they were actually wondering what I was doing, to be honest, at the time. And you know, it's been impressive. It's been a long, long time, and we're going to get into some of the challenges that I've seen in that 20 years. But right now, I'd like to hand off to my friend Emily and let her introduce herself.
Hey, everybody. I'm Emily Downey, and I'm a principal design researcher at Microsoft. Unlike Dina, I haven't been here for 20 years, only 5 years, but I still feel accomplished about the 5 years. It's definitely felt like longer and shorter on some days. My team leads research for the Windows Shell, MSN, Edge, and the Store, which is how Dina and I met originally. And similar to Dina on this regard is that I don't actually have a traditional researcher background. So while most of my team has their PhDs in psychology or HCI, my background's actually in political polling. But what really drew me to Microsoft, and specifically engineering, is bringing people and data together to make better decisions, and bringing people and data together to identify new business opportunities that maybe the business isn't normally thinking about. So we'll talk a little bit more about how we bring in research to help the business make better decisions, but for now I'll turn it over to Anne.
Hello, everybody. I'm a senior supportability program manager in CELA accessibility team. I joined Microsoft 2 years. I think I win by a sheer number of years. No, I'm just kidding. When I joined Microsoft 2 years ago, we were at the very beginning of accessibility journey as a company, or I would say the revamp, accessibility journey, re-effort, I should say. And in the past 2 years, it's been absolutely outstanding to see the progress that we have made together in this journey. As you can probably guess by that statement, my responsibility is to advocate for accessibility across our company. And I can't do this alone. I partner with every day. I am privileged to partner with various engineering teams and PMs across our company to ensure that our products are accessible to and usable by people with disabilities. The ultimate goal is we know that our technology can empower people, whether people with disability or not. And there are too high unemployment rate among people with disability. And we know that our technology can help cut down that unemployment rate. This really motivates me to bring my A-game to work every day. And no, I don't have an engineering background, but Microsoft is an inclusive place where every point of view is welcome, just so as long as we work together toward common goal to create product that empowers every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. And I think I have what it takes to have a seat at the table, and not just me, but other people, other employees with disability across Microsoft as well. So it's been brilliant to be able to be here for this past 2 years.
Okay, so one of the things that we've talked about is, you know, well, specifically me having been here 20 years, it's just how much technology has been adopted throughout everyone's lives, you know, globally by billions and billions of users. And when I think about my time at Microsoft 20 years ago, it was much a more linear, I guess, problem. And when we were designing for our products, it was often just me and a couple of devs in a room, largely thinking about, well, what did we want? What did we think we needed? And that was okay because, you know, at the time, I think my personal life, I had like maybe one or two PCs at work. At home, there was one. It was shared by everybody. And when I look at my life today, not only do I have multiple devices in my life, my kids are now young adults, and they have multiple devices in their life. Even their grandparents, my dad, who's a retired farmer, as you can imagine, he was probably the last in our group to even want to use a computer, and now he has a smart device. My grandson, somehow, he's 1 year old, he can use, you know, smartphones and an Xbox game controller, and it's just, it's amazing, but it's also daunting. You know, if you have billions of users, many of them who are not like you, what we did 20 years ago, actually, it's just not going to work. And it's especially hard when the users that we're designing for are very much unlike myself. And so one of the things that we struggle with is that just like in our everyday lives, we have lots of information everywhere, right? There's lots of customer feedback that we get through different social networks. We have a lot of telemetry and experimentation. And so trying to distill that into something that's actionable for our team is often a challenge. And one of the jokes you can imagine as an aeronautical engineer is people will often say, oh, it's not rocket science. But actually, when you're trying to design for billions of people all over the world who are not like you, it kind of sort of is becoming like rocket science. And so with that, Emily, I thought you could share how you're empowering our engineering teams to kind of break this all down.
Yeah, like Dina said, a lot of the engineering teams that my research teams work with have more data available to them than ever before. So one would think, okay, maybe that's more meaning than ever before, but actually we see the exact opposite of that. That more data often results in more confusion, more complexity, and more difficulty in really understanding what to do next. And in the case of Microsoft, as we evolve to become more of a services business, we rely more and more on experimentation and telemetry data to make decisions. But in the case of working with Dina and team, what we found is that our existing user base for a particular product was actually biased. So we're using experimentation and telemetry data to tool the product over time. But with that, we actually risk making the product increasingly more biased over time. So what we're able to do with user research in this particular case and in other products as well is go outside of our existing user base to really understand what does the whole market look like, what are the user needs, and then what are the needs that we can actually address, and what does that equal in terms of opportunity. And we can really get underneath, and kind of the passion that I have is to understand users' needs and then what we can build to light up and really fulfill those needs and ultimately contribute to the bottom line, but make better experiences as a result. But one thing that users aren't great at, they're great at helping us identify what the pain points are. We then, as researchers, can kind of use our unbiased perspective to say, here's what the opportunities are. But oftentimes, and I don't know about if any of you guys have built products before or gotten user feedback, but they're not great at thinking about solutions to make it better necessarily. So they're not going to just sit there and come up with the solutions. That's where you know, my colleague Anne really has the expertise that she brings, where she can say, as a user with this type of expertise, this is what we should be doing. So Anne, do you want to share some of your experiences of how you've made products better as a result of expertise you have?
Sure, absolutely. Before I answer that question, if you don't mind, I'd like to give a minute or so of my background. Throughout my career in the past, I would say 17, 18 years or so, I've been an accessibility advocate. And I have been representing, in this case, of the blind community throughout my career. And one thing that the blind community or the blind computer users have to encounter every day is we use different output methodologies. So instead of seeing things on the screen, we obviously are hearing things from the computer. And we also rely on keyboard and not a mouse. So when you actually create a product to be accessible to the blind and other with people with disabilities, you have to really pay attention to product designs and as well as pay attention to input methodology and output methodology that people are using. For me, since I have I would call a personal insight, since I'm a person with disability myself, I understand what it takes to make our products accessible. I understand what are some of the characteristics of good applications are all about. And so I bring those insight in that I have collected and also a shared practice among community of people with disability into Microsoft. As an example, if we have an app that we design on our universal platform that do not have a proper label, or the app doesn't really provide a good structure markup, I then can demonstrate the access barrier in person to the engineer using technologies of choice. In this case, Microsoft Narrator or other third-party accessibility solutions, and actually go through the app experience in person. And when my colleagues see me as one of their colleagues who struggles to use the product, they are willing to do the right thing. And then after that, the conversation turned into, what do we need to do next? Now, CELA accessibility team has accessibility training curriculums available for engineers and program managers to take advantage of. And I would encourage that you would look into that if you want to learn more about accessibility. But then I found that creating the right level of empathy along with providing excellent technical guidance, people are really willing to listen. And people are willing to take the next step necessary to make our products usable and accessible to everyone. And it's been really an outstanding experience. In the past 2 years, I mentioned this, that we're on a journey of accessibility. But we have made progress that should not be underestimated. We have one of the most accessible Windows version out there. We also have very accessible Office 365 products and services. That is huge. We still have much more to do, though. And so I find that the engineers and PMs have been able to take my feedback, and not just my feedback, but feedback from other employees with disabilities, to really improve our products and services in a big way. The question, though, that I have for Dana is this. You have to then balance my feedback or feedback from people like me versus the data and telemetry that Emily brings into to the company. How do you balance those type of feedback, and how do you select which recommendations that you're going to take to further improve the product?
Well, I think that's kind of was my lead-in earlier, is that it is incredibly hard, especially when I don't use our products like Anne does. And so one of the things that I love about being up here today and about actually how we work together day in and day out at work is our diversity, and how when it comes together, you know, one, I work with Emily to help understand what... Well, first, I set up our business goals and objectives. Like, what do I really want to do? Is it acquire new users? Is it a deepen engagement with existing users? And then I work with Emily to understand what type of user I want to go after and why. And then in the case of accessibility, which is a big initiative for our company, it's really, I can't stress enough how amazing it is to have Anne come and use your products. You know, for a long time, I could go and do my checklist of, you know, here's the things that we need to do to make it functional. I thought I was doing a pretty good job until I sat down with Anne and she used the product and I was like, wow, there's opportunity, right? And then when I was trying to figure out how to innovate and make the product better for her, honestly, that's not something that, I mean, I could come up with some ideas, but it was really through the collaboration where she could help us really hit not just the functional bar I wanted, but she could help answer that question of delight. And so it is a balance, and obviously we still do experimentation in our production environment to make sure that we're hitting our business objective. But I think one of the things that I love about the panel and, you know, all of us, we have diverse backgrounds. We came to Microsoft through all kinds of paths. We all have a shared passion for what technology can do, but it really is through this collaboration that I think we're setting up on Microsoft's vision that in order for us to grow our business, we have to broaden our team and our talent and our focus around inclusion and diversity to meet the growing user base that we have, you know, around the world. And so with that, I just want to thank you guys for joining us. We have a couple of minutes if you have any questions for us.
Are you working on any framework for accessibility?
Are we working on any framework for accessibility? I'll give that to Anne.
Well, so let me answer it in this way. If you want to make sure that your products and services that you create is compliant, and we'll start first with compliance, then we have Microsoft Accessibility Standard is the standard that incorporate a very well accepted international standards like WCAG, that's Web Content Accessibility Guideline Version 2, Priority AA, and also other standard like the accessibility standard in Europe and so on and so forth. We have the convergence of those standards in our Microsoft Accessibility Standard. So if you are creating products and services, make sure you understand those criteria in mass. And so that's one thing that you can do. Another thing is, of course, XAML have UI automation, which is an accessibility API that you should also take into account when you develop products and services so that all of the accessibility properties are properly exposed. And so that's two things you can do. And we also have, as I mentioned, accessibility training curriculums that's ranging from web accessibility as well as training on how to use UI automation in app designs. And that is also training curriculums that you can take advantage of. So are there one framework? No, but there are many resources out there that can help you begin your accessibility, either begin your accessibility journey in your area or strengthen the accessibility work that has already been done. Does it make sense?
Yeah, and my team actually does research for accessibility as well. And one of the things we've learned the hard way over the last year and a half is we used to do compliance-based scorecarding for teams where they'd bring their experiences into the usability lab, we'd run accessibility participants through the experiences and give them a score. And we weren't as effective as we wanted to be because we realized we actually need to plug in way earlier to the process. And an accessible design is a good design for everyone, all users. And so a rising tide really does lift all boats in this case. So we've actually shifted the research now to plug in earlier in the process and be more generative and formulative. So teams at Microsoft can bring in their designs, even just wireframes or whatever, really early in the process and get feedback on a weekly basis from users with accessibility needs rather than having it just be a scorecarding compliance, even though those are obviously important constraints as well.
are accessibility advocates, you know, they may be the one person in an organization that's struggling to get other people to see the value in this. I remember having a conversation with somebody one time who sold televisions and was like, blind people don't buy TVs, and I couldn't believe they said that. But, I mean, there are people who have, you know, misconceptions about that. So, could you talk a little bit about kind of the sales process, like internal sales process?
Yeah, I can speak a little bit about what we're experiencing from a research perspective with this exact question. So the question was around the sales process of, you know, how do you sell accessibility or these concerns? It's one thing to say that someone should care about it, but it's another to sort of get that evangelism out there on a grassroots type level. And from a research perspective, we definitely feel this as well, where in the past, you know, the research program for accessibility has been almost like an appendix to normal research instead of being integrated into everything that we do. And so, you know, I was sort of lecturing other teams saying, it shouldn't be an appendix. And then I was looking at our own team like, a little hypocritical. So I think one thing we've done is trying to not only drive empathy and awareness, but when we drive empathy and awareness, also provide the tools for teams for the do's and don'ts to take action. So oftentimes, you know, when we drive awareness, whether it's through videos, we call them shame videos, where we show customers failing at certain experiences, we won't necessarily provide then the toolkit for them to go and take action with. So that's one way we've adjusted in research to get at your very point, is to say, here's what you need to be aware of, here's the empathy you need to have, and as a result, here are the three things that you need to consider as you design and build your product. Anne, do you have anything you'd add there?
Yeah, I think I agree with what Emily has said. The thing that I also want people to know, that accessibility truly does matter in how we gain revenue into our company. You know, let's look at one sector alone. One or two sectors, educational. Sector as well as federal government sector. More and more today, we have much more stringent criteria and accessibility that people are asking and requesting of us. Can you please tell us, Microsoft, that your products are and services are accessible? Would you please demonstrate to us why do you think your products are accessible? And that actually, this kind of discussion is getting more and more prevalent in the sales side of the company. And the CELA accessibility team is coming up with a way to educate our sales team to ensure that they would be ready to answer those type of questions. And stay tuned. There will be a one document where you can go to learn about how to talk about accessibility, how to evangelize on accessibility in our products and services. And this is, I think, the resource that we are making available, continue to make available. And it will be a great resource that people can look and truly understand the impact of accessibility. Accessibility work is not just the right things to do. It is necessary, and it can be, I will use the term competitive advantage, to bring more revenues into the company. And I'll give a shout out to my colleague, Leith Malik from CELA Accessibility, and he's leading this effort. And so stay tuned. There will be documentation out there to help educate the sales force within Microsoft.
One thing I was thinking of, we were talking about some of the advantages, is as we were going through some of the early designs of our pages and we were looking at, you know, and using the product and what the, you know, narrator was reading, and you could see where there was some inefficiencies of information, where we just had all these links on the page and it wasn't reading very well. Interestingly enough, we were having similar, as we were designing our applications, UWP across the device ecosystem, we'd start to watch people using our product on Xbox with the game controller, and they were having similar inefficiencies where there was just too many links that they were navigating through. And what we found is when we thought we actually ended up putting a similar lens. We didn't expect this initially, but when we think about how you were navigating through our product for Narrator, often the solutions that we came to in terms of what should be on the page initially and what would be, like, you could say a click away, it benefited both. And so you'll often, I think we're finding that sometimes where we land in terms of the solutions is actually beneficial across our device ecosystem.
I'd like to give an example of a accessibility improvement that we make in a product that actually resulted in a pretty amazing adoption. So accessibility checker used to be hidden in Office application, but now we move it up into the review tab. And because we're doing that, people are using accessibility checkers much more in our product, and our product now become, I would say, highly sought after by people who, our clients and our customers who really care about accessibility, and because we now make accessibility checker a prominent resources for people who want to create accessible content. So this kind of discussion also get into procurement decision as well.
Okay, I think with that, we have the red light. We're 6 minutes over. You can tell we love working with each other. We have a great time. We can't thank you enough for being here. We're honored to be here and that you're here. We hope you enjoy the rest of Build. If you see us around and you have any additional questions, please come up. We'd love to talk with you, and have a great day.